It's time for Humboldt Baywatch here on KHUM because it's 10:30 and Carol Vandermeer is back after a nice vacation and in a new year. How was your vacation?
Oh, it was great. Boy, I spanned the North America nearly. I went from Arcata to Nebraska to Iowa and Arizona. So I had lots of different habitats and family members, and it was a bit of a whirlwind. Maybe I might just pick one place next time, but it was great.
Well, it's nice to get a little bit of travel on, especially this time of year. Was there any snow involved anywhere up there?
Ice in Iowa, nothing but ice. And then we had all the branches were coated in a sparkly rim of ice, but we were just hunkered down for Christmas there. So it was okay. We didn't have to go anywhere and we could just enjoy the sparkliness of it all.
Well, and now it's a new year and you're back.
Yes, I'm back and I had an excellent first day hike. I think a lot of people like to kick off their new year with a hike in a wonderful area. And so that's kind of first and foremost on my mind. I went with a couple of dear friends out to the Lanphier Dunes, which is part of Humboldt Bay National Wildlife Refuge. And it's such a remarkable area. I've been there many times. Every time I go, I'm like, why am I not doing this once a month? And so that'll be part of my commitment in the new year is to get out there more often because it's such a special place.
Mm, I like that you're, first of all, I like that you said a few of my dear friends, and I thought that's dear with an A, not dear with two E's. But I like that your resolution is, well, quote unquote resolution, is something that you already do just to kind of like make it more of a priority instead of a complete lifestyle shift. You say, hey, this is something I like. I'm going to do it more often.
Definitely. Definitely. It's really a special place. Have you been out to the Lanphier Dunes?
I have.
Oh, yes. And so I just wanted to let people know that you can't go out there, but it does require having a permit. And Friends of the Dunes does give out those permits. And there's no real magic to it other than you need to go out on a guided walk. And Friends offers those guided walks every first Saturday of the month. And coming right up is the first Saturday. So at 10 o'clock, and they meet out at, carpool out to the site. And so you can go online at, friendsofthedunes.org and get more information about it. And once you go on a walk, it's a very simple process to apply for a permit. And then you can take a friend, not a big group, but a friend out to the dunes.
So when you say, the first Saturday, that's how you get the initial. And then once you do that, you don't have to only go on Saturday, correct?
Correct. Yes. You can go when it works for you. And then you feel like you have the magic insider bit of information. And the goal there is just to make sure that everybody who goes out to Lanphier is fully briefed on how special it is, how important it is to stay on the trails, not disturb, the fauna or flora. And so that's why they kind of require folks to have an initiation with a guided walk led by, any number of Friends of the Dunes volunteers.
So why don't you give a little rundown? Now people need to go and do this guided walk, but what does make it so special and why do people need to like really adhere to these trails?
Well, the Lanphier Dunes is really where coastal dune conservation started. And so this area has been restored, invasive species removed. It has amazing topography, has big old forests, maritime forests. It's really got a lot of hills and valleys, and that different topography allows for a lot of different kinds of species. Right now the mushrooms are going off and no collecting, but you can take a lot of great pictures. And it's just been preserved and protected for a long time. And I'm sorry, Mitch, I got a little tickle in my throat here. All that great traveling, I'm at the end of a cold, so excuse me if I cough a little.
But that's okay. I kind of think that everyone right now with the travel and the coughing and...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And especially when you want to talk to somebody, it comes up.
Yeah.
But going on about what makes it special, this area was preserved in large part due to the foresight of Hortense Lanphier and her husband, Bill, who purchased this property back in, I think, in the 40s, but they moved to the area in the 30s. And she was just a remarkable woman.
Will you say her first name one more time?
Hortense. H-O-R-T-E-N-S-E.
Let's bring that name back.
Yeah, it's really a crazy name. Hortense Lanphier.
Cool.
And she was an amazing woman. And she was steadfastly protective of the dunes out there. And she had her master's in biology. This is like in the 30s.
Whoa.
She had her master's in biology. And she is actually credited for helping spearhead the establishment of the wildlife department at what once was Humboldt College, and now we all know as Cal Poly Humboldt. But the wildlife department is a huge part of the university there. And to think that a woman in the 30s was really a leader there in getting that established is really saying something.
That's super awesome. I almost wish that it was called Hortense Dunes instead of Lanphier.
But her husband, Bill, they both were professors there, and he did a lot in fisheries, so did she. And she was kind of a crazy, I shouldn't say a crazy lady. She was wonderful. I knew her son. I never met Hortense, who passed away in 2004. Her son, Star, was his name.
Wow.
He was quite a character as well. And anyone who ever knew Hortense had lots of stories. One of my favorite stories about Hortense, you know, she was kind of rough and tumble, but she also could be kind of a glamour gal. And she would teach, she painted, this is a story, she painted her toenails red, and then she put them in like a stream or water and taught fish identification. When she wiggled her red painted toenails in the water, and the fish would come over and she would identify them. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
That's adorable.
It is adorable. And then she also would go out in the dunes, and at the time there was lots of dune buggies and trespass, and she was trying to protect her beloved dunes, and she would carry a pistol on her. She was sort of known as Pistol Packin' Mama, and she'd wear a kind of a bedraggled cowboy hat, and she'd fire warning shots in the air if people were trespassing on the dunes. So she really helped protect it. And the Lanphier Dunes, for whatever reason, weren't quite as invaded by the European beach grass and other invasive, so it was a little more intact. And then there's been a whole lot of work and restoration done out there as well.
Well, I'm really glad that not only are you talking about a space that's protected and that people get to experience with a little bit of knowledge and care in it, but I also love that you're bringing up this woman who did cool things like painted her toenails and you know, was packing a pistol around, because that sounds, first of all, awesome, because history forgets women so many times, but also just that her son is running around and that she died in 2004. Like, history isn't so far back in
right.
a way.
It isn't that far back. And I had always kind of had hope to maybe write more about her, because it really hasn't been that much. And anyone who knew her was great. I went back in some of our Friends of the Dunes, Dunesbury articles, and, you know, I've had people reach out to me and share memories of Hortense. Both Hortense and Bill Lanphier were very generous with their farm, they called it. They had, they lived out in the dunes out by Lanphier, and they had cattle and dogs and all kinds of animals, and they share that life. And in fact, Hortense actually wrote a book called Bedlam on the Slough. She called the place where they lived Bedlam, because it was, you know, had so many different animals. And so if you really want to read about what life was like living out there before it became protected, you know, take a look at Bedlam on the Slough. But, you know, when Bill, her husband, passed away, and she decided that it was too much to take care of Bedlam, she had the foresight to work with the Nature Conservancy, and they actually sold their land to the Nature Conservancy, who protected it for a number of years. And back in the mid-90s, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service actually took over managing that land in much the same way it had been managed for a long time by the Nature Conservancy. So, you know, she really had the foresight in and not only help start the wildlife department, but also, you know, help start coastal dune conservation in our area. Now it goes well beyond Lanford Dunes. That our whole spit out here, we have a national significance, you know, of coastal dune habitats here, thanks in large part to the foresight of Hortense Lanfear, a pistol packing mama out there. So when you go out to Lanfear Dunes, and I encourage people to do that, you know, this time of year, it's lush, it's green, the lichens are in their full glory, and bright red bearberry, lots of fungi. I've been especially loving the coral fungi out there. I really encourage you to take a look, and then keep in mind, you know, people can make a difference. And even though a lot of people don't know of Hortense, she really helped set the wheels in motion that protect such a precious place like that.
Well, I'm really glad that we took this time to talk about her, because I tend to get into a little bit of like a Google hole after we talk about something, and then I talk about it endlessly. All of my friends know that each week I'm going to tell them whatever it is we talked about. You know, I'll talk about like slime mold forever or whatever it is that we're talking about. And I'm glad that this one, again, is a woman with a cool personality and a little bit of like local flair, but who is not only doing cool stuff, but like you said, making a difference, protecting this spot that now you can still go to. I like when we still have access to things that are protected, but just with a reminder that like we need to be cautious and that we need to respect the land that we still have.
Yes, absolutely. And Lanfear Dunes is a precious jewel, and it was a great way to kick off the new year. And now I think I'm also going to kind of get into this year, commit myself to learning a little bit more about fungi out in the dunes. So I got a brand new book, you know, for Christmas, and so I'm going to dive into that. So maybe we'll focus on some cool species in some future conversations.
I love that. What's the book?
The book is this big, it finally is getting me over the hump. It's called Mushrooms of the Redwood Coast. And it's a comprehensive guide to the fungi of coastal Northern California. And it is not, it's really kind of geared for us amateurs, and then it has a lot of pictures, and it kind of has a pictorial way of organizing them, and lots of notes on ecology, edibility. It's just really inspirational.
Well, and that sounds like kind of what I would imagine most people listening, they're probably not going too deep into, I don't even know what a fungi. We like pictures. We like to know.
Mycologists will go into dichotomous keys and lots of detail, but this is actually a good book, I think, for both, you know, beginning and experts, because I don't know, the pictures really, the photos are inspiring, and the notes on the each species are really helpful.
I'm going to put a note on there too, that finding books that are localized are really helpful, because I feel like I would get like a book about birds, and then it would be about birds on the East Coast, which are really nice, but
they're nice.
Yeah, they're nice, but that's maybe not what when you're trying to go for a walk and you're trying to maybe look at the things around you and appreciate the nature that you live in, having a localized book is really nice. So taking the extra time to find one that pertains to the place that we live, I feel like is really helpful too. So I'm glad that you brought up that it's Fungi of the Redwoods.
And this extends, you know, the whole coast, so it's even good for down in the coast of Mendocino and so on. So yeah, it's really a lovely book.
Cool. Well, now we've got a couple books to read. I have the feeling a lot of people this time of year are like, I'm going to stop scrolling and start trying to read some books. So maybe we're going to help people on their resolutions, not only getting outside, but maybe educating themselves a little bit too.
Yeah, agreed. That's sort of part of my inspiration as well.
So do we have any sort of song that would go along with either the dunes or maybe Hortense, or Have you gotten that far?
I do have a song.
Okay.
I meant to look up when it was written because it's an old song, but a new version was done by John Prine called Pistol Packin' Mama. Oh. So in honor of Hortense, who stood up for what she believed in and wouldn't put up with any guff. So.
Well, that's perfectly right up Cahem's alley. Little bit of Pistol Packin' Mama, and of course, I'll always play you some John Prine. So I appreciate you taking the time. Feel better.
I will. I'm really on the very tail end of it, so I'm feeling pretty darn good.
Good. Well, I always appreciate talking to you, and I hope that we've inspired a few people to get out and enjoy all that we've got in Humboldt County. Thanks, Carol.
All righty. Thanks, Mitch. Have a great day.
Bye.